Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. I don't know what it is. The Polish, like the Italians, we like to use our hands. And sometimes I get animated and I got to get going, so I'm going to do this. So like I was saying, we normally have this thing up there, and the more you exhibit, the more fullness you walk out your relationship with the Lord. And Hannah's like, well, pray about it, see which one you're going to get. And I thought for sure it was going to be reading the Word of God, being in the Bible, because that's my thing. And as I'm praying, God's like, worship. Worship. And I'm like, God, are you sure? Because it's not that I don't worship, and it's not that I don't like worshiping, but God, you know, reading God's word is my jam. And spending time with you and teaching and preaching, that's my jam. Worship I love. But aren't you sure, God, that Hannah's not supposed to preach about that? Because she's a worship leader, and she's been so for a long time. Not me. I mean, there have been times when I've gone up here on the stage and been part of the worship team, and there have been times, usually every Sunday, where I'll sing up front here, and when we do the transition, I'll sing into it, much to your guys' chagrin. But I sing, and I lift my hands to the Lord. But am I passionate like Hannah and Brian are? Am I passionate about it like Deanna is, and anybody that you hear on the radio, am I that passionate? Do I know enough about worship, God, to preach and teach on that? Yes, I am. Because worship is more than a song. Worship is a way of life. If you're just worshiping the Lord on a Sunday between 10:30 or 10:15, supposed to be 10:15, more like 10:20 around here. So if from 10:20 to 11:45-ish, or 10:45-ish, if that's the only time that you're worshiping the Lord, you're missing out. You're missing the point. Worship is a way of life. The title of today's message, he gave me this as I was looking up worship things. The quietest worship plays the loudest song. The quietest worship plays the loudest song. Worshiping God with your life. Worship is more than a song and a dance. It's our gift to God. Do you guys ever think about that? You know, sometimes when I'm up here and I'm like, I'm struggling and stuff, I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. This is my gift to God. Why do we worship? We worship simply this. He is worthy of it. He is worthy of our worship. The heart of the matter is we worship because he is worthy to be worshiped. And as I'm thinking that, I'm like, that's a simple thing. It's simple when you break it down, when you get right to the heart of everything. We worship the way we do because he is worthy to be worshiped. And sometimes, because that's not a complex idea, it makes it more hard to understand. Because it can't be that simple, God. We can't just worship you because you are worthy to be worshiped. There has to be more to it than that. There's got to be. There's got to be more to it than that. I mean, there is, but at the very heart of it, the very bullseye of it all, is we worship the Lord because he is worthy to be worshiped. He is worthy to be worshiped. How do we do so? How do we worship him? Like I said before, worshiping is more than singing and dancing in a church service. It's a way of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether then we eat or drink, whatever we do it to the glory of God. Even how we eat can be a worship to the Lord, because it's more than just what we do on a Sunday morning. It's more than what we do. My story with worship. My story. How I've encountered God in the worship. And I don't know if this is going to be familiar with the rest of you, but it was familiar with me. When I first got born again, and I used to come to a church service, I'd see people like lifting up their hands and dancing around, and I'd be like, what are they doing? This is a little crazy up in here. But then I understood what God did for me. Once I got into his word and I understood a little bit more about what he did for me on the cross, I too had this upwelling inside me that said, I wanted to praise and shout and jump for the Lord. So I'd go like, oh, yes, I can do this. But then I'd worry about who was looking at me in the back. They think I'm crazy. So I put my hands down. But then I got to the point, I was like, God, I know what you did for me. I know what you did for me on the cross. And I raised my hands up. And then I start wanting to do this. So I do this. Then I know people's looking at me in the back. So I do this. Maybe I even want to sit down. I was paying attention more about what people were saying to me in the back than what God was thinking about me up front. But then I got to the point where I got all over that. So I'm jumping up and down. I didn't get to the point where Pastor Tom was, where he was jumping on chairs. But there have been some times when I've done so. There's been a mosh pit up in this place. But I got to the point where I could do that freely. But then my eyes, instead of looking behind me, I started looking to the front of me. And then I saw the people up on the platform. Ooh, this is a special place. God, I want to worship you, but I can't sing like Brian and Hannah. I can't play a worship instrument like any of the people who can play worship. I can't lead a worship team because my hair's too short and my pants are too loose. Worshippers around the world, you get it. I don't know how they do what they do, but they're doing it. And they can sing and not keep their eyes on it. But I'm like, God, I can't do that. I can't do that. Then he's like, you're not focusing on the right thing. When we come up here and we worship, this is our gift to him. It's not about whether we like the song that they're worshiping to, or we like the sound of the person next to us, or we liked coming here in the snow. This, our worship is for him. He wants the song list played. It's not my business. He wants to listen to those songs. So I'm going to sing it out with all my heart, because I know who he is, and I know what he's done for me, and I know he is worthy to be praised. And there's a joy on my heart. And there's a song, and it's all right to be happy, and it's all right to be joyful, and it's all right to worship him, and it's awesome to focus on him. When we do it right, and our lives are worship in all aspects of our lives, that means we have our right focus in mind. God, I can just go to my job and just do this for the money that I make, or I can do this as a worship to you. How many of us think about that when we go to work? This is a worship. This is not just a job that I come to do to make money. This is a time from whatever time to whatever time you work. That whole time can be a worship unto the Lord if you do it with the right proper perspective in mind. when you put your eyes on him. God, I'm going to come here and work from this time to this time with all my heart because I know it's a worship unto you. And it doesn't matter what they pay me or what they say, it is worthy to do this properly because I'm doing it unto you. Ooh. Sometimes that's a little strong because sometimes we go to jobs that we don't really like to do. And it's hard. I know sometimes in the summertime when I've mowed all week and I have to go on Saturdays and mow all day after I've been mowing all week, that's a hard thing to keep my focus on because there's 10,000 other places I would rather be than there mowing lawn. But if I have a proper perspective, I can do it with a joy in my heart and a smile on my face, and I can do a better job because I do it with the right focus and right perspective. Amen. There are different types of worship, like Hannah was saying. When she was mentioning the words of worship, I don't know what it was, but when she said tada and yada, I felt like crying. I don't know what it was. The emotion of those words just came over me. The worship and the praise of those precious words. Worship is more than a song. It's more than a dance. When we give a gift of worship to our God, I wrote down, it builds our neck muscles. Well, what do you mean it builds our neck muscles? Because when we focus on the Lord and we worship with a proper perspective, it keeps us from looking down at ourselves all the time, and it lifts up our eyes, and we focus on him. It's building our neck muscles to always be looking at him. So when we face things in our lives, boom, we can go right there to the worship. Worship is more than a song and dance. It's our gift to God. But there are some other awesome outcomes for us as well. The amazing outcomes of worship. Victory in the song. His gift to us. Now we're going to get into the Word of God. You guys have opened it up and you're like, I thought we were going to get there a little while ago. He usually gets into it right away. Well, today we're getting into it right now. The guy we're going to talk today is Jehoshaphat. Say that 10 times fast. Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. So when I was praying about this and I got the word worship, I thought of this man, Jehoshaphat, right away. And he's got, like in the worship circles, this dude is like awesome because of what happened in his life. But if you're not really in the worship circles, you hear his story every now and then, but in the worship thing, people are hearing the story all the time. So Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah, and he did some amazing things for God. And I have you guys start in chapter 20, but I'm going to read something beforehand in chapter 17 about how God felt about Jehoshaphat. He said, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David's earlier days and did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commandments and did not act as Israel did. So the Lord established his kingdom and in his control, and all of Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he gained great riches and honor." God was with him because he did the things of his father of David. So God established who Jehoshaphat was. So Jehoshaphat was reigning, doing good things, bringing Israel back to God, or Judah, back to God, going all over the place. But then at one point, he decides to team up with the God of Israel, or not the God of Israel, the king of Israel, Ahab. Whoops. He made a big mistake. And they were going to team up together, and they're going to do some battling, and they want to do some fighting. And they did so. And during this battle, Ahab died. And Jehoshaphat thought he was going to die too, because the guy was coming up to get him. Then Jehoshaphat cried out to God, and God saved him. So he saved him. He goes back to Judah, and he's living his life. And all of a sudden, a prophet comes up to him and says, "You made a mistake, but I know you want to please God. So God is still with you." So then Jehoshaphat reinstitutes all these things of following God, goes all over the towns of his realm, and brings them back to God, and starts reinstituting these statutes and commandments and things like that. And it's awesome. He's doing great things. But all of a sudden, there are some people on the outskirts that want to invade him, want to kill him, want to take them all out. And chapter 20, this is not where you guys are at, but I'm just going to read it a little bit. "Now it came about that after this, that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Munanites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Sometimes we face things, even when we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And I think that's for somebody special here today. You're like, "God, I've been doing everything that you want me to do. I've been reading my word. I've been getting into what you want me to do. I've been worshiping you. I've been praising you. I've been doing all that you've asked me to do. But yet I'm still facing this struggle. I'm still facing this enemy." Judah, Jehoshaphat, faced this enemy. And he said that they are all against us, and I can do no more, but my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you, Lord. There's a guy, a prophet comes to Jehoshaphat and said, "Even though these people are against you, you're going to get the victory." And down in verse 20 is where I'm going to start to read with you all. "They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your trust in his prophets, and succeed.' And he went out and consulted with the people and appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in his holy attire as they went out before the army and said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting.' And when they began at singing and praising, the Lord set an ambush against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed." Before he even went out there, the armies were routed. "For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. And when Judah came and looked out of the wilderness and looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one could escape. And even more so, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much more among them, including goods, garments, valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were there 3 days taking the spoils because it was so much." Wow. Isn't that awesome? Not only did God defeat their enemies, it was even more so than that. He defeated their enemies when they were in worship. Yeah. And even more than that, the spoils took them 3 days to pick up. The victory that we have helps us build trust in the Lord when we worship. It changes our perspective, even if it doesn't change the situation. Trust in the Lord grows when we start stop worrying and start praising him. It says, I know in the end you win, Lord, no matter what the circumstances I am in. When we start to worship and praise the Lord, it takes our eyes off the circumstance we're in. It puts our eyes on him. And it says, even if I don't receive the victory here, I have the ultimate victory in you, so I can keep my eyes on you and I can praise and worship you because you're worthy to be praised and worshiped. And I know that I'm coming to you in a place of victory, and I'm worshiping you in a place of victory, from victory, not just wanting the victory, hoping for the victory. I know I have it in him, and I'm set in that place. And when I worship from that place of victory, it changes everything. I don't have to beg for victory. I don't have to hope for victory. I am in victory. I have the victory in him. When we praise and we worship, it changes our focus from ourselves. It puts our focus on him and the future we have in him, which sparks the hope that we can walk into, that we can start praising and thanking him for all that he has done for us and all that he's going to do for us. Then we find out when we open our eyes and we see who he is, we can look around and we can see the corpses that God defeated for us. And we know that we didn't have to fight those battles on our own. He's the one who fought them. He's the one who did it. There is a battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Our job is to worship him with all our hearts and to trust that what he's going to do, he's going to do it. Amen. The last thing is freedom in the dance, his greatest gifts. Can you turn to Acts chapter 16, please? Worshiping the Lord brings us freedom from the things that hold us back to experience him, and it changes those around us. This is a familiar story, chapter 16, verse 22. This is when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi. They'd done a bad thing. They had gone through the city, and then there was this girl who was possessed by a demon. And she kept on saying the same thing over and over and over again. And Paul was like, I'm going to cast you out. And he did, and that demon left. But because that girl couldn't do her thing anymore, her owners were upset. And they came after Paul and Silas, and they did this. It says in verse 22, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. I don't know if you've ever been hit with a switch before. That stuff hurts. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When they had struck him many times with many blows, they threw him into prison, commanding the jailer and the guard to keep them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. See, I don't know about you, but if I had just been beaten with rods and I had just been accused wrongly, there was an injustice there, I'd be very upset. And now after being beaten with rods, I'd be very hurt. And even more so, they put me in the inner part of the prison, which is dark. And it's not like the prisons we have today. These things are awful places to be in. It's dirty and nasty. You weren't allowed to leave to go to the bathroom from these places. So all that stuff's all around. And then you're sitting in the muck and the mire of that. And your chains are locked up tight to your ankles. And all you can do is sit there and think about the pain that you were just in. But not these guys. They saw the victory they had in Jesus. They know the victory they have in God. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourselves, for we are all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear, and fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Amen to that. Worship brings us freedom. Whatever chains they are, when we are focused on the Lord, all the stuff that entangles us, all the things that, you know, the thought life or the actions, the addictions, all those things go slowly fading away when we put our eyes on Him. And then He breaks those stupid things off us. Then we can walk into freedom because of the worship that we do, because of the victory we have in Him, because He is worthy to be praised. And not only that, when people see us walking in freedom and worshiping the Lord, they see that and they want what we have. So worship is awesome and amazing. And it's also freeing, liberation. So when you think about it, when you are worshiping the Lord, don't think of it as people are looking at you because they think you're nuts. Or if you're up on the platform, they're looking at you because they think how awesome you are. Think about the responsibility, the amazing responsibility we get. Because when people see us worship, they want what we have. They want what we have. Thank you, Lord. Some of the ways we get to unlock worship in our life. Tips to growing in the worship of the Lord. I'm going to do this really quick because we got to get going. Worship when you are alone. This is what I do to build myself up in worship. When nobody else is around, I worship when I'm alone. Because then I can make a fool of myself and nobody's there to care. But God, who's looking at me, He's pleased because I am worshiping Him. So I can sing as loud as I want. I can dance as hard as I can. It's not a performance. But it makes it easy because there's no one there to make fun of you. This is a one that if you're new to the Lord, you may not understand, but you can sing in the spirit that God gives you, the Holy Spirit. There's utterances that we don't even understand, but we can pray in the spirit language. We can sing in the spirit language. Sometimes you'll hear me do it here. I'll be singing, and all of a sudden, I'll just start praying in a spirit language. That stuff, it releases things in the spirit realm. And it builds us up. Listen to worship music. It helps you put in the right mindset to praise, and it can drown out the noise around you. I don't know if you guys deal with sometimes you get these thoughts in your mind, you just can't shake them and wheel them. You're like, "God, get rid of these thoughts, get rid of these thoughts," but they just don't go. You turn on some worship music and that stuff flows away because you hear His voice and you hear His praise through it all. Listen to worship music. I like some other type of things I like to listen to on the radio, but sometimes you got to listen to worship music to put you in the proper mindset to listen to Him and to listen to His word and to build Him up and you up. Read God's word. It helps you see who God really is. You see His power and majesty throughout the Bible. All you got to do to read His majesty is open the Bible up. I don't care what page it's on, as long as it's not the index or the appendix at the back. It is in the, if it's in His word, it builds up His majesty. You see how powerful He is and you see what He is doing. Read His word and then you will worship. Remember the past. Remember what He has done for you in the past and how He has been faithful to you, and to know that if He was faithful for you back then, He will be faithful to you in the future. Remember. And this one right here is one of the key ones. Make yourself do it. Make yourself do it. Sometimes you just have to make yourself worship, even though you don't feel like it. A couple of weeks ago, I came in here and I was hurting for certain in my stomach. I had like torn some muscles in there because I was lifting bags of salt out of the back of a truck, and the next day I was just hurting. And my stomach, I could only go a little bit before I had to clutch my stomach. It was just hurting. And I'm like, God, I don't know if I can worship you. I can sit down, right? And I just felt like in my spirit, no, just stand up and praise him. Praise him. And I did. And before I knew it, it's not that it was easy the whole time. I would jump and be like, oh. But when you do so, when you make yourself do it, I promise you, you will see him. You will see him, and he will give you victory and breakthrough and freedom. Other people will see that and want what you have. And even better still than all those things, we do it because he is worthy of doing so. Yes. Yes. Now, please rise. We're going to pray. We're going to give thanksgiving to the Lord because he is worthy of it. And I'm thankful that you guys stayed in here and you didn't run for the doors when you found out I was the one. Mm-hmm. Whew. Father God, we are here this morning to praise and worship you because we know you're the one worthy to be praised. You're the only one worthy to be praised and worshiped, Father God. That's the simple truth. We are here to praise and worship you. And we thank you for the opportunity to do so. And oh, while you guys are standing here, just let out a holy shout to the Lord because he is worthy to be praised. We're going to break some things down here today. Just break anything off you right now that is holding you back from worshiping the Lord. Worship him, worship him, worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 God, we I don't know what it was. It was the one that David did, the worship word, where it's just, it's not Tehillah, it might be that, but one of those words was like worshiping like David did. I'm going to keep my clothes on. Thank you, yeah. We'd all have to be healed of being blind if that happened. But what I want to release over everybody here today is a place where you can be released in the worship, where you can keep your eyes on him and not care about the people around you or how you even feel inside, because you know he is worthy to be praised and you know he is worthy to be worshiped, and that whatever God is telling you to do in the moment, you do it with all your heart. Whether it could be just sitting in that chair and doing nothing, and everybody outside could be looking at you and say, well, he's not even worshiping. But in that moment, you are as close to God as you have ever been. But sometimes it does mean getting up and dancing before the Lord with all a reckless abandonment because you are so in love with him. That's the key. God, I do this because I am in love with you. I'm in love with you. I tell my wife, Natalie, 4,050 times a day how much I love her and how beautiful she is to me. But as much as I love her and how I think she is gorgeous, I want my praise to be to God even more so than that. And I want to release that over everybody in this room, that you would have your praise and adoration unto the Lord, and that he would open your eyes to the great things that he has for you, and that when you see him for the first time or the millionth time, your heart just explodes with love and adoration and worship and praise because he is so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.